Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Today our program is going to be entirely a question and answer program. Many of the questions have been sent in by you, our viewers. Pastor Brock, our first question, what is Advent? Why do some churches have it and some don't?
The word Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming. So let me explain this. The 4 weeks before Christmas is the beginning of what's called the church year. And those four Sundays before Christmas are Advent Sundays. We're supposed to think about the second coming of Christ, when He'll come down at the end of time and raise the dead and judge every human being. So it's kind of a somber time, a time to repent of sin, getting ready for the end of time. And we do that for 4 weeks so that when we come to Christmas to celebrate the first coming of Christ, we can do it with joy and a clear conscience. So it's a season of repentance. Jesus is born, that starts the Christmas Sundays of the calendar year for the church. Then comes the season of Epiphany, which means the appearance, manifestation. It's when Jesus appears for the first time to non-Jews. Do you know when that is?
No.
It's the wise men.
Oh, the three wise men.
Yeah, the wise men show up. And so after that, we get Lent. Lent is a word that means spring, and it's the 6 weeks before Easter when we meditate on the sufferings of Christ on the cross for our salvation. At the end of Lent comes Easter. We celebrate Christ's resurrection. Then we have the resurrection Sundays, and then the giving of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, comes down on the disciples. They get speaking in tongues to go out and convert the world. That's called Pentecost Sunday, and that's the season of Pentecost. And then eventually we get back to Advent, we start all over. So this program is going to air about the beginning of Advent, 4 Sundays before Christmas.
All right.
Oh, yeah. And why do some churches, Catholic churches, Lutheran churches, Episcopal churches, I'm not sure, but I think also the Methodist and Presbyterian churches would observe Advent. Probably the more non-denominational Baptist-type churches probably don't. It's a church tradition thing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Was Jesus really born on December 25th?
We don't know the day He was born. It could be, but it's about a 1 in 325 chance that that's the day He was born. Nobody claims, really, that that's the day He was born, but it's chosen as the day we celebrate.
Yeah. And it's always been that way, it seems like.
I believe the Orthodox churches celebrate a different day in January. For Christmas.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a pagan Roman holiday on December 25th?
All right. I think it was called Saturnalia. Mm-hmm. And I think it was celebrated like the 21st through the 23rd of December. And that's when the pagan Romans would worship Saturn, the god Saturn. Mm-hmm. And one thing the early church did is to help people get away from paganism, they would replace a pagan holiday with a Christian holiday. And so it's a possibility that that's kind of what was going on. They were replacing Saturnalia with Christmas. But I don't know if that's crystal clear, but that's a real possibility. And I don't think anything's wrong with that. Some people say, well, we shouldn't worship on a pagan holiday. I think anything we can do to get people away from the paganism of this world is okay with me.
I agree.
Yeah.
Don't Christmas trees have a pagan origin?
Let's talk about Christmas trees. I brought my garage sale Christmas tree to the studio today, and people will say, but you know, didn't the pagans use a tree, a Yule log and a tree to worship foreign deities, and why do Christians have Christmas trees when they have pagan origins? Well, my response is just like December 25th. You can't worship. That's when they worship Saturn. Mm-hmm. Well, who says the devil owns December 25th? If the ancient Romans want to worship Saturn around then, so what? I can worship God. And did the pagans in Europe before Christianity, in the cold winters, bring in evergreens to decorate their house during the boring cold winters? Yeah, they did. Does that mean I can't have a tree because they... No. Mm-hmm. I mean, this does not mean paganism to me. It might have to the ancient druids or something. But so I think it's fine to... Actually, you know, the Puritans in early America, I think they wanted you to worship and go to church on Christmas, but they didn't like all this Christmas tree and all the stuff. They said no to all that because they were pretty strict. When the Germans came over in the 1800s, they brought the Christmas tree tradition, and that's when people started having Christmas trees in America, was when the Germans came. So there's my garage sale Christmas tree. Next.
Was Jesus born in 1 A.D.?
In 525 A.D., a monk by the name of Dionysius Exiguus came up with this, what we have as the, you know, A.D., B.C. He was off by about 4 years. He had Jesus being born on 1 A.D., meaning Anno Domini in Latin, 1 year of our Lord. So he thought the first year our Lord was born and was 1 year old was the 1 A.D. The problem with that is King Herod died in 4 B.C. Well, King Herod, of course, is the guy that tried to kill the babies of 2 years old and under. So we know that Jesus was born somewhere between 6 B.C. and 4 A.D. when Herod died. So he's off by about 4 years. So Jesus was probably born not in 1 A.D., but 6 to 4 B.C.
Just right in that area.
Yeah.
Does the Bible command us to celebrate Christmas?
There's no verse that says you have to celebrate one day a year for Jesus' birth. Mm-hmm. And again, some religious people say, well, you know, because the Bible, Christmas isn't in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And Lent isn't in the Bible. And I say, okay, you don't have to have a day where you celebrate Christmas. You don't have to have a Lenten service. But there's all kinds of stuff that those churches use that aren't in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Light bulbs. Hymns.
True.
Well, hymns are kind of in the Bible, in the book of Psalms. But just because something isn't in the Bible doesn't mean you can't use it. If it's unbiblical, you can't use it. But there's no pipe organs in the Bible. Does that mean you can't have a pipe organ in your church? Mm. No. But Paul says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So there you go.
Who were the three wise men?
Well, you know the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." There are three errors in that song. It never says there were three wise men. It says they brought three gifts, so people assume there were three. Could have been 20 people bringing three gifts. So we don't know that there were three. "We Three Kings," well, they weren't kings. They were wise men. They were kind of astrologers, and they were people that had influence with kings. So they would have been the advisors, but they weren't kings. And so the third error, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." When we think of the Orient, we normally think of like China and stuff. They were more like from Iraq, Iran, that area, Babylon. So they really quite weren't from the Orient. So that's the wise men were people who had influence with kings, but they weren't kings.
They weren't kings.
Yeah.
Was Mary 14 years old when she gave birth to Jesus?
Yeah, it never says that. Now and then you'll hear somebody dogmatically say, well, Mary was 14 years old, 13 years old when she was. It never says that. You know, I'll grant you, in the ancient world, they got married earlier than we do. But when the Bible doesn't speak to something, you just should not make some kind of dogmatic statement about it. So who knows how old she was. Yeah, she was young, but yeah.
What is the big deal about Jesus being the son of David?
Yeah, if you read the gospel accounts, they kind of go out of your way to show you the genealogy of Mary and Joseph. And the reason Jesus had to be from the line of David, David was the Old Testament king, ruled about 1000 B.C. God promised David, you're going to have a descendant who will be king forever and ever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Well, none of that came true for any of his children until Jesus was born. So Jesus is born to fulfill the promises that God made to David in 1000 BC.
So that's very important.
It's very important, yeah.
Many have claimed to be the Messiah, like the Reverend Moon. Mm-hmm. How do we know Jesus is the real Messiah?
The Reverend Moon was born in 1920 in Korea, and basically his followers believed Reverend Moon is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus said, when I come back, I'm coming down in the clouds. He's not going to be born on the earth again and mm-hmm. grow up in Korea. And now the Reverend Moon is dead, and he has not risen from the dead. So I don't know what the moon people, they call the Moonies, the Unification Church, I don't know what they're doing right now, if their numbers are going down. I haven't followed it. But so the question is, how do we know Jesus is the real Messiah mm-hmm. and not Reverend Moon, etc.? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus is the only one that fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. You know, if you read the Old Testament, it's prophesying about this Redeemer, this Messiah who's going to come. And I encourage you, read Isaiah 53. Read Psalm 22 that prophesy in detail the crucifixion of Christ that happened 1,000 years later. So, yeah.
Did Caesar Augustus know he was fulfilling prophecy by getting Joseph and Mary to be taxed in Bethlehem?
Yeah. If you read Luke chapter 2, the reason Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem is because they're of the house of David, like mm-hmm. we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So they had to go to David's town to be registered with the Romans to pay their taxes. And that was a decree given from Rome by Caesar Augustus. Did he know that he was fulfilling Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem? Caesar Augustus was a pagan Roman. He didn't know anything about the Christ coming. And so he just was making people pay their taxes. But God uses people, uses leaders who have no idea that he's using them. Mm-hmm. and he used Caesar Augustus to get Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem in time for Mary to have the baby in Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy.
All in God's timing.
That's right. Yeah.
Whatever happened to Joseph, the father of Jesus?
Yeah, you know, do you know the last time Joseph shows up in the New Testament? Mm-hmm. Jesus is 12 years old, and they lose him in the temple, mm-hmm. or in the processional later after the temple. And they talk mm-hmm. about Joseph and Mary being very worried for their little 12-year-old boy, mm-hmm. Jesus, and then you never hear about him again. And then Jesus, when he's 30, starts his three-year ministry. Mm-hmm. We don't hear anything about Jesus from age 12 to 30. But when Jesus comes on the scene at age 30, you never hear about his father again. So the conjecture is sometime between Jesus' 12th year and 30th year, Joseph died.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. He had other brothers and sisters, didn't he?
Let's talk about that. The Bible does talk about Jesus having brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. so I take that at face value. Roman Catholics believe that Mary was ever virgin, mm-hmm. but if you read, I think if you read Matthew, Joseph knew her not, had no sexual mm-hmm. relationships with Mary until Christ was born. And then it talks about brothers and sisters, so I think the normal way to read the New Testament is, after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had normal marital relations and had children. Roman Catholics would say it's not really brothers and sisters, it's cousins. It's his cousins they're referring to, mm-hmm. but it says brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Well, our next question was, why was Jesus born of a virgin?
Yeah. Why did God not use the sperm of Joseph to create? First of all, we want to say Jesus' body was created. But Jesus is God. Jesus is uncreated. Mm-hmm. He's eternal with the Father and the Spirit. So Jesus is eternally God, but he got his human body for the first time, and the only time, at Bethlehem. And so why was it necessary to skirt Joseph and directly have the Holy Spirit put the baby inside of Mary? I believe so that Jesus could avoid getting contaminated with what's called original sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they passed their sin onto all their children. Mm-hmm. And so had he been born in the normal way, Jesus would have been a sinner inheriting original sin.
Hmm. What is the Immaculate Conception?
Yeah, people think that's what I just want to explain what's called the virgin birth.
Yes.
The Immaculate Conception is a Roman Catholic teaching that Mary was born sinless. And kind of their reasoning is, well, for her to produce a sinless Jesus Christ, she had to be sinless. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I was 12, my Lutheran pastor pointing out, well, if you follow that logic, then Mary's mother had to be sinless to produce a sinless Virgin Mary. And then, well, then Mary's mother's mother, and you go all the way back to Eve, and it doesn't work. So Immaculate Conception is the Catholic teaching that Mary was born sinless and Mary never sinned. But in Luke, she calls God her Savior, mm-hmm. and she needed a Savior. And it never says in the Bible that Mary was perfect, never says we should pray to her. I get concerned for people, they sell the Hail Mary so much, and would you pray to God? I don't think we're supposed to pray to anybody but God in the Bible. So that's a concern.
Okay.
Mary's a wonderful woman, a wonderful role model. We should honor her as the mother of our Lord. That doesn't mean we proclaim her sinless or pray to her.
Mm-hmm. Do all four Gospels tell the Christmas story?
No. You only find the Christmas story in Matthew and Luke. Mark doesn't have it, and John doesn't have it. That's why we need all four of the Gospels. We need to read all four of them to get the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. Compare them. Mm-hmm. Any suggestions on how to keep Christ in Christmas?
Like, for instance, you go online, or you go to a Christian bookstore, and you get a little What Christmas Means to Me, or The True Meaning of Christmas. Wonderful little pamphlets. Takes you about 3-4 minutes to read them. And you just say, you know, before we have our Christmas meal or before we open our presents, let's just take a moment to talk about the real meaning of Christmas, and you read it to your family. That's a quick and easy way to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just seems like today we're so engulfed with presents and we really lose the meaning of Christ in Christmas.
You got to, and I know it's out of people's comfort zone, and it was for me too, because I used to do it when I'd go home, no mom, my mom is dead, but could we please... Can I read this little tract before we open our presents? So that's mm-hmm. one way to do it.
Well, those are my questions. You had a few letters from
viewers.
Yes,
you know, we've got, there's one question, Mona, that I want us to hit, which is, how would you respond to someone who says Christmas is a nice fairy tale? And I had a friend named Tracy, and her mother was an Episcopalian who said to her daughter, well, you know, and an Episcopalian believes in the Christmas story, but she didn't. And she said, you know, I don't believe in it. I do think it's an invention, but it's such a nice story. Hmm. Well, listen, if it's not true, it's not a nice story, because
right.
it claims to be a true story. So I would say the reason I believe the Christmas story is not a fairy tale, it's not the kind of thing you would dream up. I mean, if I was going to make up a story that God becomes a man, he'd be born in a palace. Everybody would worship him. You wouldn't dream up he'd be born in a barn, laid down into where the cows slop their spit, you know, the manger. You wouldn't dream that they'd kill him, you know. So it's so out of what we would come
right.
up with. And then the other reason I believe Christianity is real and true, for 2,000 years, Jesus has been changing people's lives. And I want us to show something here. Mm-hmm. This is a little... would you watch this for just 3 minutes? Here's a story in Africa where Jesus is changing somebody's life. Please listen to this.
The village of Obagaji in Nigeria is made up of peaceful and hardworking people. They are a people with strong beliefs, especially in traditional and ancestral worship. So when a boy named Aple fell ill, his parents did what most people in their village would have done. They went to a local witch doctor. The witch doctor said that Aple's sickness was caused by evil spirits. The only way to keep him alive was not to allow water to touch him ever again. If he bathed, he will die.
We listened to the witch doctor's instructions. I did not bathe for 6 years. My hair became matted. I had to drop out of school. I lost all of my friends as well as my mind after all those years of sitting in my own filth. When people saw me coming, they ran away because they were so afraid.
When he thought things could not get any worse, tragedy struck. His village was attacked. Although Aple and his mother survived, they lost their loved ones, homes, and livelihood. They escaped a little town where their lives would change forever.
I met Aple on my way to share with the village about Jesus.
Pastor Andrew inquired about my unkempt hair, so I explained why I had not taken a bath in so long.
I told him my God could help him, that my God could save him.
It sounded too good to be true. Pastor Andrew shared with me about Jesus, and as he did, I grew convinced he was the answer to my problems. Although I was still afraid to bathe, I decided I would rather die than live the way I had been. I surrendered my life to Jesus.
I took him on my bike for a haircut and then back to my house for a bath. Then I brought him to his mother.
I began crying and screaming because my son had bathed and he was going to die.
But he didn't. Days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, and Aple was more alive and healthy than ever. Everyone's doubts and fears subsided.
I am so happy that God saved my child. I have decided to follow him, and I no longer put my faith in any witch doctor.
Aple is excited to soon join TTI as a disciple maker and church planter. He and his mother have joined a local church and are committed to reaching their people for Christ as they share the miraculous work he has done in their lives.
Jesus is the one true God. We can depend on him. He alone has the power to save.
So I thought that was a very moving video. Mm-hmm. And so why do I believe the Christmas story is not a fairy tale? Because for 2,000 years, mm-hmm. Jesus has been doing that kind of thing for people. He's real. Right, you had a few more questions there.
I did. What happened, Pastor Brock, to the shepherds after the birth of Jesus Christ?
We don't know. You know, it never says later they showed up at the cross and saw the crucifixion or witnessed the resurrection. We have no idea what happened mm-hmm. to the shepherds. They hear about the birth, and that's about the end of our knowledge of them.
What happened to the wise men?
Well, they returned back home to Persia, but again, we don't know what happened. You know, did they ever learn that Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead? We don't know. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Some of this stuff, you just have to let it be mystery and just say, we don't know.
What about the term magi? What does that mean?
Magi, again, was a cast of wise people that would inform and instruct like kings. They were into astrology, which we're not supposed to get into as mm-hmm. Christians, because it's forbidden. You and I should not be reading our horoscopes. We're led by the Word of God, not by the stars or astrology. But they were messed up. They were into astrology. But God is merciful and leads people even who are messed up. Mm-hmm. That's one of the lessons from the Magi. Magi and wise men are the same people.
Are the same.
Yeah.
What does the term Christmas mean?
All right. It's Christ's Mass. You know, Catholics go to Mass. Mm-hmm. Well, where do they get the word Mass? What does the word Mass come from? And we're not sure about this, but the last words when they had worship services many years ago was, "You are dismissed." And the word miss became the Mass. So the Christ Mass is the service that we hold celebrating Christ's birth. Christ Mass is Christ Mass when people go to church to worship the newborn king.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
What is meant by being born again? Do all religions practice this?
Yeah, this lady was a Catholic, and she said, my Baptist friends say you have to be born again to go to heaven. And so I responded to her, you know, you didn't hear all that much about born-again Christians until the 1980s when Jimmy Carter became president, and he was a born-again Christian. Then you heard a lot about it. You don't hear about it that much anymore. Mm-hmm. And there are three places, and only three, that talk about being born again in the New Testament. Number one is John chapter 3, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. I think that's a reference to baptism. Mm-hmm. One way we're born again is through baptism. And then the second way you get born again is 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his mercy you have been, he has caused us to a living hope through the resurrection, to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Somehow when Jesus rose from the dead, we all were born again. So it's through baptism, through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And in the same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God. So through God's word, we get born again. Mm-hmm. Through baptism, we get born again. And through the resurrection of Christ, we get born again. And so I responded to her, you know, if you believe in the resurrection of Christ, you know you're a sinner, you've been baptized, and you know his resurrection and death are your hope, you've been born again. Whether you can tell me the date or not is immaterial. Mm-hmm. You've been born again if you're truly trusting Christ for your salvation.
Do you have to be baptized in order to go to heaven?
Well,
I'm thinking of babies that died very early,
or the thief
birth,
on the cross. There's exceptions, but overwhelmingly, when people got saved, they got water baptized. Mm-hmm. In the New Testament. So I wouldn't be without it. But can God work outside the box like he did with the thief on the cross? Mm-hmm. We know the thief on the cross went to heaven, and he was never baptized. But I wouldn't use that as a reason not to get baptized. We're commanded to be baptized. Mm-hmm. And God does wonderful things in baptism, so you don't want to miss it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen, we've got 1 minute left, and just I want to tell people what's coming. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about lessons from the angels at Christmas, then lessons from the wise men at Christmas, then lessons from the shepherd at Christmas, and our last show around Christmas time will be What Child Is This? Who Exactly Is Jesus? And we'll learn all that. So that's the next 4 weeks. And now as we enter Advent, this is the time we think about the second coming. Mm-hmm. Advent of Christ. He comes down in the clouds, raises the dead, judges the world. It's going to be an awesome day. So these 4 weeks, we are to be repenting of our sins, turning our thoughts to Christ, rededicating our lives to Christ. That's what the Advent season has meant for hundreds and hundreds of years for the church. So there you go. If you'd like to watch our show anytime for free, you go to pastorstudy.org, and all of our TV shows are there. Have a great Advent. We'll see you soon.
God bless.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.